Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Welcome back. We'll touch on a few different Bills-related subjects here with Sal, who joins us on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Sal. You're so available to us. Almost every time we ask, you say yes. And I know today, I think you hosted alone this morning with Howard Off and Jeremy on the golf course. So just wanted to tell you, appreciate how available you are to us.
No problem at all, guys.
Thank you. The chart I referred to before the break. So I saw this cool thing today. I don't know if you guys did. The longer, Sal, it takes a team to get lined up before a play, the more likely it is it's a pass play. Somebody charted like thousands of plays only on plays where the clock is not running, for what that's worth. Still, it's pretty cool. Like, you look at this chart, and again, like, the sooner a team is set and snaps the ball, the more likely it is to be a running play. Does that sound surprising or interesting? What does that sound like?
Does not sound surprising when you say it, but I've never really thought about it. Now, one of the reasons that comes to my mind right away is I would think maybe personnel groupings would matter here. It would take longer for people to get out wide than it would be for tight ends to line up. Mm-hmm. So if you're running four wide receivers, they have to leave the huddle and go 15 yards to line up versus a tight end who only has to basically move to the line of scrimmage to line up. So that would probably be more indicative of a pass play if you're going with three receivers versus two tight ends.
How about audibles too? Right?
Well, that's true, but audibles are, to me, after you line up. You know, now I don't know what they're counting. Like, are they counting shifts and motion as part of this? But audibles would only take place after you line up, because that's why you're audibling. You line up and then you see what the defense is doing.
Now, I'm not sure actually on that. It might be the latter. It might be like when the ball is snapped, not like set right at the first time.
Now, that would make total sense because of exactly what you said, because I would think, according to the way it was framed, it would not be like snapping the ball, but completely. If that's the case, I would definitely think that, because you're looking at coverages and you're changing all this. Now, you can change to a run play. There's no doubt about it.
Of course,
but
right,
I would think that would be would make more sense that way.
So, what do we do with this information? Do teams take that in and think there's some advantage to be gained by taking longer on running plays to throw defenses off, or running, you know, making, you know, doing, you know, getting into passing plays more quickly, because a team might think if you're snapping the ball fast, it's going to be a run. So maybe play action is even more valuable if you snap the ball fast and get everything lined up. I wonder how much teams would be paying attention to this information.
I actually think there is something here, Bulldog. And I think what happens is, especially over the last, I would say, 10 years, I think that, and I've talked to some people who will tell you this kind of thing. We've kind of talked about this, I should say, with some people in football, that you know, quarterbacks and offensive coordinators, and they're getting smarter at trying to get the defense to tip their hand. The longer you take, the more chance it is they're going to get into their coverage and not disguise it. The quicker you snap the ball, there might be more of a disguising of coverage. The defense, they're going to keep disguising, and sure, they can go at the snap of the ball, but they need to get in their position. So the longer it takes, and maybe a couple of hard counts, you might get them to move into position where they're going to be instead of disguising the coverage.
Bills just so buttoned up on offense last year. We've talked a lot about how efficient they were and how aggressive they were, but they were also very clean last year, which is especially impressive when you are those other things, I think. You know, we're kind of talking about some confusion that can arise when you're, you know, talking about a play where you might have four or five guys in the route on the route tree. And, you know, just think about that season. They were just so good last year. I mean, 500 points.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of confusion on that offense, really, right? Yeah.
That's right. This is, I think this is where continuity comes in, right? I mean, you had a group by and large. Now, granted, you had Stephon Diggs who came in, and I think that was great that he was able to get on the same page so well, so early with Josh Allen. But, you know, those guys, they did take time to get together in Florida. But this is where continuity comes in, where, you know, you don't have to really worry about the body language can help you a lot. That's one of the things that, you know, they talk about a lot with knowing where a guy's going to go just by the body language. You know, and a lot of these are just sight adjusted routes, and you just have to know and have to see the same thing. So, yeah, I give Brian Daboll a lot of credit, you know, for that, because you have to trust the guys to be able to do that. You have to trust them to trust each other. And, you know, that's been a word that's come up a lot since Brian Daboll's been here and Josh Allen's been the quarterback, is trust amongst each other. And that's exactly what you're talking about there.
Well, camp's still a month away. Right now, I think if there's one topic Bills fans are talking about the most, it's Cole Beasley, Sal. And that's debatable, but that's how I see it. And so when we've talked about this, we have quite often his situation. You make a point about how these guys better get this done if they want to be on time. And with each day that gets tougher, I mean, if there's anybody in the league I would say this about, it's him. He's dug in. I don't feel like it's just going to happen that where Cole Beasley is going to announce he's going to be vaccinated. That's not the way he's been talking. And so when you have this opt-out possibility now, I think fans are wondering if he's going to be there this year. Is that reasonable?
I think it's reasonable to wonder. I can't see it. I can't see that. The way he made it sound when he posted what he did, you know, just a few days ago, last week or whatever, he basically made it known, like, look, I'm doing this, and, you know, whatever consequences I have to pay, I'll do it. And then he mentioned, like, I'll retire before I take it, but he said, I'm playing, and I'm going to do it my way. And if people don't like it, well, that's fine. You can find me. I can't see him opting out because of this, but certainly it's something that needs to be talked about and a possibility. Now, it is important to remember, we've talked about this, guys, that there isn't a threshold as of right now. We don't know what that's going to be. We don't know about the reported 85%. That was like a month ago. That was even more than that, that was going to be the number. But I still have a suspicion. I have a feeling, my own opinion here, that by the time we get to the season, there may not be anything. The league may just say, like, you can operate normally. We're good. We like where the numbers are. I mean, they're allowing 100% capacity at stadiums. So there might not be a number and a threshold. And maybe that's why the league is holding off on actually putting one out, because they don't want to put themselves in a corner and want to give themselves that leeway to just say, don't worry about it. You can operate no matter how many guys are vaccinated.
Sal, would you have expected that by now that the Bills, either Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, I don't know, even ownership, like someone would have reached out to Cole Beasley to try to, I don't know, reel him in a little bit, just because it is such a divisive issue. And I can't imagine a football team being happy that one of their guys is like the face of this fight. But I know, I recognize you've got to be careful there, because we are talking about individual rights and all that sort of stuff. But I just can't imagine any of this is going down smoothly with McDermott.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I could say is I'm sure they've spoken, you know, and I don't know if, you know, the way you phrase it, reel him in. I don't know, you know, how they want to go about that, except to say that Sean McDermott has made it pretty clear that, you know, that they want to keep educating their players as much as possible, because they would like their players to get vaccinated, as many as possible. And he's been on record and said publicly, I am, Brandon Bean is, the Pegulas are. So I'm quite sure they've had those conversations, but I also think that they're trying to be as respectful as they can to each individual decision while doing what they can to try and educate them enough to say, hey, you know, I want to get it. But it appears at this point that that's just not happening with Cole Beasley. After the public right. stance that he made on social media last week, you know, I'd be pretty darn stunned if suddenly he did a reversal, as you were just saying a little while ago. But sure, there's got to be those talks, you know, that are going on. But at the same time, they're delicate. And every time they get brought up, Sean McDermott says, yeah, sure. You know, we're trying to educate and we'd want to move forward and things are moving in the right direction in that regard. But he also is quick to say, but it's everyone's personal choice what they want to do. And we're going to be respectful of that.
Right. Just so we're clear, when I say reel him in, I'm not saying like change his mind necessarily, although I'm sure they would like to change his mind because of everything you just said about McDermott's feelings on it. I just mean being so public about his stance on it more than change his mind necessarily. Just like, dude, just cool it. Okay. Like this isn't helping anyone. But you know, I mean, that's up to them, I guess.
Yeah, and I wonder the same thing, Bulldog. I do. I think it's possible for sure that they've had, you know, the one thing we know that the organization under this regime does not like is any sort of distraction, right? They want to keep distractions to a minimum. They want to keep the focus off of these kinds of things. And the only way we want the focus on us because we're winning football games. That's why we want focus on us. Because, hey, if you want to talk about us getting flexed into a Sunday night game because we're leading the division, great. But this is not the kind of focus they necessarily want. So I would not doubt that, you know, those conversations have taken place. But of course, you know, none of us knows. And, you know, whatever is going on behind closed doors and way back when, however long these conversations have been going on to get to this point.
I'll just say again, like, I'm not interested in, even indirectly, it's not like he's in the room, engaging with Cole Beasley on this. If someone's not interested in making a slight effort to help society get well, what are you going to say to them? I mean, I'm not interested in engaging in that. What I am interested in, especially professionally, is what you guys are talking about, which is what does this mean to the team? Because I know, Sal, we've talked about this before. You've heard me say it. Like, football guys are so proud of what sacrifices they'll make for the team. Somebody who doesn't make certain sacrifices can be an outcast on a team. Now, maybe this comes down to how many guys are there on a given team that have this problem. But if it's not many, there could be team pressure, just all within the confines of the locker room, especially on a team that's supposed to be really good. That's what makes me wonder. I mean, his choice, whatever. Like, it's exhausting to even start down a conversation with somebody that's sort of talking this way, I think, for me. But from a Bills standpoint, it could be really interesting.
Yeah, I think Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have... I'm not going to call it a challenge because I don't think that they're faced with some sort of adversity, but I do think they are tasked with making sure that doesn't happen. Right. I mean, there's gotta be that, you know, you go back to Josh appearing on the Kyle Brandt podcast, which kind of started putting the Bills in the crosshairs of this back in early April. And then of course, you know, what Brandon Bean said and, you know, the hypothetical situation he was asked about and then Cole Beasley's stance. And then, you know, since then there's been other players around the league, but the Bills have just seemed to be the team that have been right there front and center with this whole thing. And sure, I think you have to start wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean come August training camp? What does that mean come September? And is everyone going to continue to be, which seems like they're all on the same page and they're all being the same message. No matter which player you talk to, they're saying the same thing to us. And I would think that might even be, you know, calculated in the room. Hey, any media member asked you, you're not talking about it. We don't want to talk about it with each other. It's everybody's individual choice. And they're all presenting this unifying front. And I believe that is true. But sure, when the season starts, because you have people who have different rules they have to live by, I do think that it is incumbent upon the organization and Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and everybody to kind of make sure that they are still in one team, so to speak, and, you know, doing their best they can to make sure that none of that creeps into it.
One heart beats louder. Is that what we want? Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. I think you're following, on another subject, the Steelers and a training camp announcement about how they're going to operate. I know also, if I can put this together in one question, teams were planning to practice together in the summer. So all signs of progress here in a sense. What do you see maybe happening with the Bills? Is one of those things or both of those things something that that you think they'd be interested in?
Well, first, the Steelers announcement, which I was surprised at because, like, I didn't know the situation there, but apparently they were planning on holding training camp in La Trobe, where they normally do at St. Vincent College, but they were denied and due to COVID-19 protocols. Now, I don't exactly know the details. I haven't read enough about it yet, but I'm assuming it's because the NFL looked into it and said, you can't do this, this, and this according to what our protocols are, so we can't allow you to be there. And the Steelers are disappointed. They released a statement, and really their statement kind of reflects exactly what the Bills are going to be doing, which is we're going to have training camp at our facility, and then we're going to go inside the stadium and have a few practices and open up the fans, because we don't have the ability to have fans at the actual practice facility like the Bills have at AdPro. They don't have either. They don't have that access and ability, I should say, for, you know, mass fans to show up. So we'll go inside Highmark Stadium and have some practices. So the Steelers practices, to me, training camp, are going to mirror pretty much exactly what the Bills are in that regard. A couple of days ago, the Carolina Panthers announced they're going to be having joint practices 1 week for a few days against the Indianapolis Colts. And then again, the following week, against the Baltimore Ravens, that will coincide, as it usually does, with a preseason game against both. I thought that was interesting because I didn't know the league was allowing teams to do that again. They put it out. They said, don't do it last year. You couldn't do it last year, obviously. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize they allowed them to or not allowed them to. I never even thought about it, but apparently you are allowing to. Now, as far as the Bills, Mike, I would say I can't see the Bills doing anything like that because I think they're focused on let's get to training camp and do what we have to do. I think because of all of the other things surrounding going to St. John Fisher and protocols. And let's be honest, if the Bills said right now we're hosting another team after they said we can't go to St. John Fisher, yeah, I think there'd be a lot of questions they'd have to answer.
Yeah, bottom line, it's good.
Yeah. Sal, one other thing. I mean, you know, Mike mentioned it. Like, we're a month out or so from training camp starting, so, you know, this is the dead period, you know, in league mini camp wrapped up. It feels to me like maybe that's Josh Allen contract extension period as well. Like, you have any sense at all, any kind of a guess even, that sometime between now and the start of camp is when we might get news on a Josh Allen contract extension?
I don't know about a guess. I would say, though, if you made me kind of put down percentages of when, I would probably give the highest percentage of before this season starts. And then the next percentage maybe during the season and then after, probably sooner rather than later, I guess, would be. I could see a scenario where it doesn't get done. I think then they would might be just be trying to figure out exactly what the numbers are. But all indications are both sides want to get this done. They kind of want to make it work so that, you know, the Bills don't pay so much on a cap situation, especially over the next few years, that it cripples them from, you know, going out and getting more talent around the roster. That's been an indication that other people have reported on, and I believe that to be the case. So it could really just be, hey, we know what we want. We both know kind of all of the deals we want here, how to make this work, but we just have to kind of massage some numbers to make sure we can stay as competitive as we want. That could very well be the case. But I think both sides, to me, would probably love to get something done before the season starts. I don't think you want Josh Allen after the season he had last year, the leap he's made, the resources you've poured into him. I don't think you want him going into his fourth year making, you know, $1 million base salary. I think you'd like to reward him. And obviously from his side, I think he wants to get paid really big money as soon as possible.
You know, we've talked about this and I've thought about how there could be, I mean, there are people who wonder if he can do that again. And so if you're the Bills, if that's any part of your thinking, you got to maybe have to be a little bit careful. Like, publicly,
I think real careful. Yeah.
Publicly, everything is a love fest, right? Allen just wants to be in Buffalo and everybody's so happy and impressed. If the Bills have any thought to what happens in 2021 with his play, and, you know, they offer something, if there's an offer before, like there's an offer now, and maybe Allen wants them to go a little better. It can be tricky if the Bills get to a point where they want to change it. You know, like, what it might be important that they do have a position right now on what they would pay him, what they would do for him. Because if any part of it is wait and see, I don't know. I don't want to be in Allen's head. But that's the kind of thing that can be sort of, I don't know, it can fracture some of that goodwill. Just hypothetically, it can do that. If he goes out and has another great season, then at some point the doubters go, okay, well, here's your $42 million, whatever. But, you know, I just wonder if the Bills want to see a little bit more proof before they land on, you know, an offer or a number.
Yeah, I wonder too. I mean, and I know you're talking about, you know, having another season before that happens, but one thing that was really interesting to me when I spoke with Brandon Bean about the Matt Milano contract and how that went down with Matt's agent, Joel Siegel, a few weeks back, guys, when I did that story is, you know, the teams and the agent, of course, but the teams, they do their due diligence to put a value on a player. And that's the value. And when it comes up, you know, that's what, this is where we value the player. And this is what we're going to try to do. Now, sure, could you, if you want to sign for less, that's fine. Maybe you even offer that less. But this is the value that we have on the player. And I didn't get the sense of, now I know that Brandon Bean said to Joel Siegel about Matt Milano, this is, you know, they wanted to keep him even before the season started. They just couldn't do it because of the pandemic, because of the salary cap. They didn't know where it was going. And then after the season, they make it work. And it was pretty, I'd say, smooth sailing as far as not worrying about the haggling over it. They just kind of had to massage some things out. So I wonder, even in that scenario, like, not that Matt Milano had a much better year or much worse year, but how much changed, right? So if they come up with a number, let's say, for Josh Allen right now, how much really would change? I guess if he went out and really stunk up the joint, it would. But if he takes a little step back, I don't know. I don't know if they would really want to come off what they really value him for anyway going forward. I think you come up with your value, you're pretty confident that's where you put the player.
Makes sense. Okay. All right, Sal. Well, here's to the start of an exciting weekend. Major League Baseball. Yes, it's the Orioles, but it's... it's the show.
Major League uniforms, at least.
Right? Oh, that's cold. Nice talking.
You know, they had a flash sale going on. And they have some nice tickets for the weekend. That was good. I just watched the Yankees today. They won. They won big, 8-1. That was nice to see. And Yankees Red Sox, big series coming up this weekend, Bulldog.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for letting me know.
I know. Yeah, you're so dialed in on the Red Sox this year. I know, buddy. I know.
Yankees.
I am going to see him play the Blue Jays in a couple weeks, so I'm excited about that. Okay, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Yankees Mets coming up too. Like next weekend, maybe. So very good.
Oh yeah, that's right.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You're welcome.
There you go, Sal Capaccio on our Wester Hotline, and his appearance brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
803-0550 for us. We've been on a few different topics today. We will continue the show after the update here on WGR.
You know, I think cornerback is a position that certainly is interesting. I think they love Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson. I think everything from the messaging that's come out of Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, even Leslie Frazier, they're very high on those two players. And something I uncovered on the podcast, going back to 2012 and looking at all the Sean McDermott cornerback tandems, he's never had the same two guys for consecutive seasons as outside cornerbacks. They're going on year three of Levi Wallace as that primary guy of Tre'Davious White. I think they're quite comfortable with what they have. And I think the moves that haven't been made speak to how comfortable they are with Wallace and White as the outside corners.
Joe Marino on the station the other day, Locked On Bills, and that's logical. I thought cornerback in the draft was a good idea, and the Bills didn't go that direction. They went defensive line. You can check out the Morning Guys chat with Joe and all of our shows and interviews at the Audacy app, AUDACY. By the way, I just finished a podcast there today that I liked called Exit Scam. It was advertised, promoted on the station quite a lot, maybe a month or two ago. So that was good. There's a lot there. All kinds of all our stations are there company-wide, and you can read our articles, everything, right there on your phone. How about that? You might even... Yes? Sorry.
It's magic. Yeah.
It is magic. You might even be able to find pictures of the All-Star Game uniforms. I don't think they're on our site, but somewhere on Odyssey.
I came across those today.
Are they maybe the worst uniforms you've ever seen in the history of sports?
They're maybe not worse than the 2002 to 2010 Bills uniforms, the road ones in particular, but They're pretty bad. Yeah. Why can't they? What are they doing over there? Like, what are they doing? Remember those City Series hats or whatever? There was a special, and that those lasted like 3 hours. Like they went like, oh my God, the world hates this. And this like pulled them. I don't know, man. I know I'm you know, not the target demographic, but it's just not, it's not a real good look.
Should we have a worst uniforms draft?
I mean, there's plenty of material.
We had a best uniforms draft last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should have a worst. Maybe that could be the theme for this year, the worst of things. we did have one draft like that last year with the punch in the face draft.
Right. I hate your stupid face draft.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
I might put these 2021 Major League Baseball All-Star Game uniforms on my board for a worst uniforms draft. They're that bad. Now, I am getting to be the age where I might find everything offensive and upsetting, like every new thing. Yeah. I work at not being that way. I really do. Like, I don't, I feel
me,
like that's
me
just,
too.
You know, yes. Who wants to be around that person?
I don't want to just out of hand, what's wrong with home whites and road grays for baseball? Like,
right.
Okay. I don't dismiss every new thing uniform wise, out of hand just because I'm a week away from being 56 years old. I try not to do that, but bad is bad. Those are bad. They just don't look, they just do not look good. And on the heels of that hat fiasco, I just sort of feel like, come on, you know, pull yourselves together over there. Like I'm open to liking some different stuff. Like all the different soccer uniforms grown on me. The college football doesn't assault my senses anymore when I turn on Oregon and they're wearing like the 10th different uniform combination of the year or whatever. Like I'm fine. Okay, fine. This is where we live now. I'm all right, you know. But man, like stuff that just doesn't work. And those baseball uniforms look really bad to me.
What do you think, Joe? Is there enough material for a worst uniforms draft?
I think there is, and this could be a fiery draft if people are drafting uniforms that you would consider like really good. Like I think this would happen with Bulldog, where he'd start pulling NHL uniforms out of the early 2000s.
Yes.
And I'm going to be like, "No, those yellow Bruin uniforms with the bear head on them are awesome."
Is that how? Is this just sort of a red herring, or is that actually?
As an example of something that could be said.
Could be said.
Yeah.
Yes. Anaheim with that cartoon.
Oh, the
figure on the front. Yes.
You mean the one that's the wild wing flying
yes.
out of the pond,
and then that font on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what makes it? What makes bad bad? With milk, it's easy. It smells and it's old and it's going to make you sick. We'd all agree on what bad milk is. With clothes, we could do a thing where it's like you have to, we pick, I don't know, 6 or 8 sports. You have to pick off like every one from every sport or almost every sport. Then maybe also eras, like you've got to pick a current, an active uniform or some number of, you know, like a fantasy draft where you need like 3 running backs or whatever. I'd be up for this tomorrow.
Whoa, tomorrow. Wow,
does that give you enough time?
Things escalate so quickly. Sure, well, sure, yeah. I mean, what?
We'll have time for car wash news and other things.
What do you think I have to do tomorrow? Of course
yeah,
I have time.
I mean,
yeah.
Right.
All right.
Who would we like to have draft? Who would like to invite for a worst uniforms draft?
Just keep in mind, Corey Griswold will be here tomorrow.
Oh, you're off tomorrow.
So, which is fine.
Oh, no sneak.
Corey
would be
fine at it.
That,
I mean,
that might fit because I actually wasn't here for the best uniforms draft either.
So, is that right?
Yeah, I was off that day.
Who filled in? Brayton?
I think Brayton did, yeah. We did a switcheroo because I was going camping that weekend and I needed to get out early.
Wow, all right. Well, so, I'm back to thinking we could do it.
Yeah, it could be done. Who would be a good fourth?
Yeah,
who'd
be a good fourth? Who knows their clothes? Who could really speak with authority? From authority, I think I want to say. Who could really speak from authority on a bad, like, what is a bad uniform? I mean, I could, you know, Paul Lucas, I don't know him, UniWatch, I don't know him, but I did invite him to last year's, and he got right back to me, but, you know, I did, what, are you going to spend 2 hours on the phone with us? Like, right. You know, he is, I would reach out to him. I think I did that last year, reach out to him for sort of like an expert opinion on, you know, what's good, what's bad. Those probably aren't too, opinions are not too hard to find on this, but, you know, qualified opinions.
Right, yeah.
If there is such a thing.
Yeah, there's definitely opinions. I mean, just the fact, you start talking about jerseys and people just got to tell you, you know, it's just how it is.
Right.
So, there's no shortage of people who want to tell you, but, like, who do we want? I mean, I don't know. I think Nate Geary fashions himself a little, at least as far as golf clothes go. So I don't know. And he played D3 football. Maybe he qualifies. I don't know. Just an idea.
Could ask Cole Beasley. See what he's doing. Yeah, maybe he's available to talk about uniforms with us. Imagine if we had him on for 2 hours to talk uniforms and never brought up the vaccine. Just never brought it up. Are these guys going to ask him ever? No, they're not. They're going to go the whole time and only ask him about, you know, pinstripes on baseball uniforms. The whole 2 hours.
By the way, this is uniforms, not jerseys, right?
Help. I mean,
so like didn't the White Sox wear shorts?
Yes.
Upon time? So like that would be eligible. Just on the shorts.
Yes. Now that's, I think so.
Okay.
Sure, but the jerseys were an atrocity too. Really. I mean, the jerseys looked like something my mom would have bought at Hills for me when I was 12.
The collar.
I mean, it was horrible. The collar. It was just brutal.
Oh, there was a collar.
Yes. I liked those jerseys.
Oh.
I liked Hills.
Wow. I worked at Hills.
You did?
Not a great experience.
Yes, I did. Maybe if I had worked there, I wouldn't have liked it. But sure, Hills.
Oh, no, these are garbage.
Hills versus Gold Circle. We have to draft them. Those places now. Old stores draft. I like the White Sox jersey. The blue and white with the opposite color collar. And I thought that, I like that font.
Why is there a collar?
Why are there shorts?
Because they're the worst. That's why there's a collar.
Why do you need a collar? Why do you ever need a collar? To wear a tie. That's why you need a collar on your shirt.
I guess I don't ever need a collar.
Why do you need a collar on your shirt?
I think collars have gone away in soccer, haven't they? Because they used to be pretty, throughout the sport.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't see them anymore. Yeah. So maybe all sports have gone away with collars. Golf has not done that.
Maybe
but soon,
like,
though.
Some of Tiger's
clothes
didn't have collars.
But to an extent, they have. I mean, it's not required anymore. But a lot of guys still wear them. But you don't have to wear them.
So the collar's a dying breed in sports.
You mean on tour?
Yeah, not all the guys are wearing collared shirts. Tiger,
right.
You just said it. Tiger wear the mock neck and whatever. Look, like, so you don't have to have it.
Morikawa has been wearing a hoodie once in a while on the golf course.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's about time golf got a little bit more casual. All right. Well,
loosen up a little bit, golf.
Maybe this is an idea. Those baseball all-star uniforms are bad. I mean, why are they not? Because somebody our age especially could be like, why don't they just wear their uniforms? Like, I heard Michael Kay make this point today on the Yankee game, how much he liked, we all liked it, when your guys, like players, wore their regular uniforms to the All-Star game.
Right.
And it was cool to see all the uniforms on the field and your favorite team represented like that. Why don't they do that anymore? Because you've already bought those jerseys probably. So now we have to give you something else to buy. And we're all going to run out and do that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to run out and buy the All-Star jersey. Well, I kind of like it. We talked at the beginning of the show today about how in 2022, reportedly, the NFL will allow teams to wear a second helmet. So if the Bills wanted to, and there probably will be a lot of support for that if they did. It seems like that sort of came out today on this show. If they wanted to put a red helmet into the rotation year after this one, they could. Don't you think? Like, a lot of people would like it?
Yes.
for one game for sure. Or so, you know?
Yeah, I think all around the league, fans will embrace that, I think. And we'll see. Like, you know, the natural inclination, like we've talked about, is to do something that you did before. But I wonder if somebody will venture out into the wilderness and, like, do something completely different. You know, like we talked earlier about changing the colors on the Bills helmet and logo, like blue helmet, change the buffalo around and maybe just do something really adventurous. I mean, maybe somebody in the league will try that.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, everything doesn't have to be a throwback.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Throw forward.
Throw it forward.
Throw it forward.
That's what makes home run throwback ironic. Wow. I mean, just absolutely nothing for that.
What?
You know, it would be a forward pass.
Oh, right.
All right. Well, maybe it wasn't. So maybe it's not funny at all. You know, let's take a moment here for a break. We will have the update at 6 for you. You can reach us at 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. The pandemic has created an unprecedented time for our nonprofit community. And this year, Western New York nonprofits need your support more than ever before. That's why the Bills and Sabres are teaming up to host the first annual Give 716, July 15th and 16th, to help raise money for charities in Western New York. Act now, as the teams are encouraging all charities in the 8 Western New York counties to register by visiting give716.org. Give 716, helping Western New York nonprofits raise funds that are critical to supporting their work. Register your charity now at give716.org. It's in the air. I like this. Jeremy is doing his amazing 100 holes of golf today for charity. We might end up talking to him one more time. I hope so, if he's still upright. And I had another idea. I think charity can be tied into it, but this is like first base on this idea. Like, this, nothing really has been structured, but I wrote another fantasy column yesterday ranking running backs. Most lists like that look mostly the same, but there's, you know, a couple guys I like more than others or more than the consensus, and I wrote that at our website. And just more and more people all the time are contacting me to say they want to play fantasy in a league I'm in. I think I'm sort of people know I'm in a lot of leagues, so it shouldn't be that hard. The law of averages, eventually we will be in leagues
to
together.
Find you.
Yeah.
Right.
Eventually we will be, but
yeah.
Right. I thought maybe, and I talked to our boss about it, maybe we do one where there's a sponsor and there's a charity and listeners and you guys too, if you want. Like put a league down and do something like that. So that idea, we'll call that in the works.
Yeah. Good. Cool. While we're on the subject, and Jared's a part of this too, he and I are both, his idea. He approached me, I don't know, still maybe late winter at some point, and said, like, what do you think about Ride for Roswell? He knew that I was starting to ride my bike in the basement before the weather turned. And so he and I are going to be a part of that. I mean, thousands of people do it every year. But August 7th, and like he's even mentioned to me, he hasn't really started hitting the fundraising for that because he had this event today that he's taking part in, the 100 holes of golf. But I haven't exactly been posting the link to donate. I know, like, lots of people would know how to find it. I mean, it's a huge event and it's been around for many, many years now. But Jer and I are putting a station team together. We're gonna ride. It's Sunday, August 7th, I think, is the date of the Ride for Roswell. So be on the lookout for both of our Twitter feeds to be promoting an opportunity for folks to donate to that obviously great cause.
All right. You guys doing active things, me doing a fantasy draft. Bottom line, well, hopefully these things help
active.
People.
I mean, I'm not walking no 30 miles. I rode my bike almost 40 miles today. The idea of walking 30,
I don't know, Joe. Both are good.
Golf, that would wipe me out.
Both are good. Riding 40 miles today sounds pretty good to me.
I think walking 30 is it a whole other animal? I mean, putting a lot of stress
it would crush
on
me,
joints.
I think.
Taking breaks
yeah,
to hit yeah. about how many golf balls? like six rounds shooting 90, 500 balls-ish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, yeah.
Along the way.
That
well,
is a day. That is a day, man. It's credit to all those people, Jer, of course, included, who are doing that.
Are we talking to him again? Are we checking in with him again next hour? Maybe? We can. We'll talk about this in a minute. By the way, in fantasy, Joe, what place are you in all-time in the League of Hopes and Dreams in terms of win-loss? Where do you rank?
Probably eighth.
Sixth?
Sixth?
Mm-hmm.
Sixth, but I haven't made the playoffs.
Sixth over 3 years. Tenth in points.
So I've been lucky.
You've been lucky.
I've been a little lucky.
I think you do too, as unlucky. Because yeah. Of your quarterback, Andrew Luck just retired and just different
Cam
things.
Cam Newton and Trubisky and just every guy you try, just down the tube.
Yeah, that's Joe's franchise's story over 3 years.
Yeah.
But you do have the sixth most wins or sixth best record.
I don't think that means I'm good, though. I think that just means I've been lucky.
I think it means if your team had a uniform, it would be that Bledsoe Bills uniform. I think that's what that means.
Yes, sixth. Six out of 12. Six out of 12 and wins
in the hunt.
Without ever making the playoffs.
In the hunt. And this is more of a rebuilding year for you, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Tearing it down. Not good enough. So everyone's getting fired and we're starting over.
How about that? The teardown. The teardown begins. We'll take a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here.
Suffering, Joe.
Van Buren Boys fans are braced for suffering. But he's got some draft picks. There's a pamphlet. The Van Buren boys sent a pamphlet out
right.
Highlighting all the system and the draft picks and everything like that.
Yeah.
So don't give up. All right, back after the update here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.